A number of times it says Pharaoh hardened his heart. And on a couple of occasions, God hardened Pharaoh's heart. And I pointed out that that word means to make strong or stubborn, to strengthen one's determination to accomplish what they have determined to do. But not always bad. It's used many times in the Bible in good. Pharaoh was determined to stand against God and against God's people, and no matter what God did, Pharaoh strengthened his heart, and he's going to maintain this posture of being against God. On the other hand, when King David was weary and weak, Jonathan spoke to him and strengthened David's heart. Same word. He encouraged him, and that was what kept David going, at least for the moment. On another occasion, David strengthened himself in the Lord. He reminded himself of his own trust and commitment to the Lord, and was able to keep moving forward. And that word is used there. And today, in the last few days, I'm going to say, I want to do that. I want that word to come alive in us. And the truth in Romans 9 will stay there. Lord willing, we'll come back and address it in the future. And it'll be there when we come back. God willing, we will come back. But surrounded by our current circumstances, we need to be strengthened in the Lord. The Lord does that through the one another. The Lord does that through his word. The Lord does that through reminding us of truth that we know about him. Our family members, John and Bonita, lost their home and belongings to that fire just a few days ago. And I'm going to just say this because not everyone here knows that. John has devoted over half his life to building that place. That's huge. That is huge. Many have offered help. There's more that would like to help if they can. Some have already helped. Stay alert. There's going to be ways. And John's already got some testimonies that he shared with me a few minutes ago. But with that fire still moving, we have Robert and Wanda. Wanda that comes to Sunday school sits right there behind Derek. She vacated because of the smoke problem. She's in thinner smoke, we'll put it that way. But Robert is still up there, up Lone Mountain Road. We've got Ron and Joanna, a little further down Lone Mountain onto Nowy. We've got Ken and Millie. The fire is still moving. We've got Dale and Sean, Millie's brother. Taz and Monique. An acquaintance of mine, somewhat friend, Donnie Hall, did some work for me on some lumber last week, and many, many other people. It's going on, besides the thick smoke that we all get to enjoy throughout Southern Oregon, all the way up the West Coast, Canada, and Alaska. We have a lot of personnel on that fire, and because of that, their life could also be in danger. It's a reality. It's easy to slip into that blame game, and I've been there. I've been there in this fire. It does no good. It is what it is. I want to offer some strengthening this morning. Strengthening of heart for each of us. I read a bit of Charles Spurgeon, Treasury of David, concerning one of these psalms I want to read. And he had one statement that, and this was last night that came out, and it really struck home for me. See if you can wrap your mind around this. Charles Spurgeon says, sight does not bring faith. Faith brings sight. Romans 1 speaks to that end. They had all the evidence. possible in front of them, and yet they denied there is a God. Sight does not bring faith. Faith brings sight. It leads into Romans 9 also, but we're not going there right now. I'm going to read several of David's Psalms. We can get a feel for David, how he strengthened his heart in the Lord. Remember that David was constantly in battles. David was always at warfare, always had enemies attacking him from the outside or even from within. And these Psalms make mention of some of that. Yet at the same time, some of the same Psalms talk about some of the same issues that come into our heart and our mind during trying times. And I think we can bring across what he says about his warfare struggles into some of our battles and our warfares and realize that the same God is there still. But there are many people today who are in actual battles. I received an email from Sibi 2 days ago in India. And he said that he and Namka are praying for circumstance in their own country. Right now up in Manipur, northeast India, he said over 300 churches have been burned. Hundreds of people murdered. And it's more important for us to hear who's divorced who in Hollywood. You know, there's tragedy happening everywhere. I'd like you to turn with me to Psalm 27, please. And I'm going to start at the end of Psalm 27. Sometimes my ways are backwards, but by design. Verse 13, some of your Bibles are going to word it slightly different, but getting deeper into what the Hebrew says, this is a good rendition of it. Psalm 27:13, I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. That means here and now while we are still in this life, I would have despaired had I not believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. David himself could admit, I'm empty. I'm done. I am despaired. I can't do it anymore, but the strengthening in the Lord is that I believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord. That is not to say I will get my way, that God will answer the prayer the way I direct him to. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Let's go back to the beginning. Psalm 27, verse 1. David encouraging himself in the Lord, strengthening himself in the Lord. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? When evildoers came upon me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and my enemies, they stumbled and fell. Though a host encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war arise against me, in spite of this, I shall be confident. One thing I have asked from the Lord that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. That's before heaven, by the way. To behold the beauty of the Lord, to meditate in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will conceal me in his tabernacle. In the secret place of his tent, he will hide me. He will lift me up on a rock. And now my head will be lifted up above my enemies around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. I want you to notice one thing before I read on. David is not talking about his feelings. He woke up this morning feeling like he wants to do this, like that's a good option. This is a determination. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, and be gracious to me and answer me. When thou didst say, seek my face, my heart said to thee, thy face, O Lord, I shall seek. Do not hide thy face from me. Do not turn thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Do not abandon me or forsake me, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in the level path because of my foes. Do not deliver me over to the desire of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. Let's go to Psalm 56. Psalm 56, David was with the Philistines and they seized him in Gath. Some of you remember the story. Be gracious to me, O God, for man has trampled upon me. Fighting all day long, he oppresses me. My foes have trampled upon me all day long. There are many who fight proudly against me. When I am afraid, I will put my trust in thee, in God, whose word I praise. In God, I have put my trust. I shall not be afraid. What can mere man do to me? All day long, they distort my words. Probably one or two of us in this room have experienced that. Your words are spun around and put on their head upside down. You didn't say that. You didn't mean that. David experienced that too. All day long they distort my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They attack. They lurk. They watch my steps as they have waited to take my life. Because of wickedness, cast them forth. In anger, put down the peoples, O God. Thou hast taken account of my wanderings. Put my tears in thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? Then my enemies will turn back in the day when I call. This I know, that God is for me. In God, whose word I praise. In the Lord, whose word I praise. In God, I have put my trust. I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? The vows are binding upon me, O God. Thy vows are binding upon me, O God. I will render thank offerings to thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, indeed my feet from stumbling, so that I may walk before God in the light of the living. Hear now. Psalm 57. When David fled from Saul and he was in the cave, I kind of don't think he took the time to write this whole thing then. It must have come later. Maybe Saul was in that cave a long time. We don't know.
Could this 56, could this be referring also to nature, not just man? Whether you're at sea or in a fire? Or...
I definitely take the principle that way. Absolutely, Ron. Absolutely. And that's why I'm reading that this morning. I'm not in battle with another man this morning. I am in battle. We are in battle together. And these are saying, trust him. Wait on him. Psalm 57. Be gracious to me, O God. Be gracious to me. For my soul takes refuge in thee. And in the shadow of thy wings, I will take refuge until destruction passes by. I will cry to God Most High, El Elyon, to God who accomplishes all things for me. He will send from heaven and save me. He reproaches him who tramples upon me. God will send forth his loving kindness and his truth. My soul is among lions. I must lie among those who breathe forth fire. Even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, their tongue a sharp sword. Remember, these are real experiences, only that he's put them in an image. He's put them in a picture to understand what he was fearing and feeling at the time. This really was happening. Be exalted above the heavens, O God. Let thy glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They dug a pit before me. They themselves have fallen into the midst of it. By the way, the word Selah, as near as we can understand, means stop and think about this. Meditate on this. Verse 7, my heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing. Yes, I will sing praises. Awake, my glory. Awake, harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn. Imagine this guy out there in the darkness playing that harp and singing, watching the sheep. And then later on as the king, maybe he couldn't sleep, so he got up and grabbed his instrument. I will say, hey, dawn, wake up! I love the imagery. I will awaken the dawn. I will give thanks to thee, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to thee among the nations. For thy loving kindness is great to the heavens, and thy truth to the clouds. Be exalted above the heavens, O God. Let thy glory be above all the earth. Let's interact a little bit. Go ahead, Fred.
There is a slogan that skateboarders have the service that says, no fear. Like a lot of things are a service. That should be a Christian slogan, not a skater slogan. Unfortunately, what I see in the lives of many who profess to be Christians is fear. And I don't get it. Not really. It is incumbent on us to prepare properly for safety of ourselves, our families, our property, and so forth. That's for sure. But in the end, we cannot live in fear. If we do, we don't trust in God. And I see close friends of mine who are good practicing Christians who are shaking in fear of the government, of their neighbors, of the society, of, you know, the lobby list is endless, and they're permanently in fear. Why is that? Am I afraid of death? Not really. Am I afraid of being burned up in this fire? Not really. I only have one thing to trust. There it is. Done.
Thank you. Mark?
It's very difficult to keep our minds and our hearts and our mouths and completely on him 24/7. You know, we got things to do in the world. We've, you know, And a good thing to look at is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. No matter what, they wouldn't bow before Babylon or the statue. They were put in the fire, didn't even singe them. That's a good thing to look at.
And they were real men. I thought I saw one over there. Michael, I'll go to you.
Yeah, these verses so full of praise that it reminded me of Jehoshaphat.
Okay, yes. What part of Jehoshaphat are you thinking of?
Of that, him gathering the people in the temple to praise when all around them there were armies amassing to come, and with one onrush they could have destroyed all of Jerusalem.
Yeah.
But because the Jews were praising the Lord, they were set free from all that, and actually the twist came that the enemy killed himself.
Yeah. Quite a story.
Destroyed each other.
Yeah. Thank you.
And on went the praise.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Ron, go ahead.
Whenever fear comes, know that praise solves your problem.
Can send it running.
In 56:1, where it says, "For men trampled upon me," and you can't read into that verse, "so that men won't trample on me." I mean, we still have to go through praise and accepting of God's sovereignty, whether or not we're overtaken by this fire. These verses aren't saying this is how you make it not happen.
Exactly. And not just this fire, any trauma and tragedy.
Exactly.
Any.
Right.
We are susceptible in this broken world. Yeah. Perfect. Mm-hmm.
We're all human, and God made us all individually and beautifully made. Our bodies and everything, how intricate it is.
Mm-hmm.
But we each have different walks of faith. And God, if you keep God focused in your heart and your mind, even through trials, even when you pray for 3 years that your husband would be saved, but it didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I was angry at God for a whole year or two.
Mm-hmm.
But it came back to the Bible and the verses that are there that says it rains on the just and the unjust, and life happens. We have no control. The fire is happening. We have no control. We're doing the best we can. That's what you can do. But in our walk with the Lord, with each one of us, are at different levels, and we grow as we get, as God brings us back. And I'm just saying, we can't judge because we're in God's hands.
We are. Thank you. My last little thought, and then I would like to turn to praise. There are grim things going on all around us. We may have to look hard to see the beauty, but it's there. Our God is good. Our God is good, and He is still on the throne. John, go ahead.
Amen. We often hear how people have managed to make lemonade out of lemons. God can make chocolate milkshakes out of lemons. The Lord has opened doors for us. I am just absolutely just blown away by the windows of heaven being opened and the blessings of God being poured out upon us. We've lost nothing. We have gained so much in the way of His assurances that He's watching after us, that He's watching over us, that He loves us. We've been given an opportunity. I'm not going to mention names just in case somebody in the church knows Him. I've already mentioned His name to a few people and such, but we've been given an opportunity to move into a home in O'Brien where you can't find a home for rent.
Yeah.
And the home is being offered to us rent-free. Forever. The individuals that have this property, as far as I can tell, do not know the Lord. It's been a very discomforting topic over the years that I've known this couple. They quickly shy away from it. But yet they've invited us to come and be a part of where they live. I was taken through different buildings on the property and being told, all of this you see, it's yours. All of these tools, they're all yours. They're not to use, they're yours. I've lost nothing. I've only gained. And I am seeing that the Lord is giving an opportunity for His glory to shine on a property where an individual has chosen not to allow the glory of God to shine. And may God have the glory of seeing this man and his wife come to know Him as their personal Savior by planting a witness on his property. And I will witness. Every opportunity God gives to me, I will witness. Praise be God.
You're enjoying what?
I said, I'm enjoying his milkshakes.
John's addicted to those, by the way. I'll confess my brother's sin. So, a need that John might not have recognized, but his friend Ann Turner did, is that particular house needs deep cleaning. For some that know what that means, maybe chat with me or John and we can arrange that.
There too, we have to be careful. The individual that owns the property is extremely, extremely careful about it, allowing anybody on the property that has not passed muster.
Got it. Thank you.
I can't just open up the invitation for anybody to come. Respectfully, I'm going to speak to him first and make arrangements way before anything happens.
Perfect. So if you would like to help, talk to John.
There you go. Thank you.
My thought is we have a good God.
Amen.
You just testified to that.
What was on my heart is what Fred was talking about, fear, living in fear. I think it's critical that we take these verses and put them in our heart if we're communicating with non-Christians. The last thing we want to do now is show our fear. Of whatever physical things may be happening, it's an opportunity to witness.
Yeah. There's another concern, and that is putting on a cloak of smugness. You know, it's reality. We should take this very seriously.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
God is still on His throne. Amen. My prayer, and I've written this, I've thought this, I've prayed this, is that He would make known Himself through these trying times, exactly as you just said. So today we're joining this woman that we've known for a long time to this man that we've just met. That's a good thing. That's a beautiful thing. It's later on, it's hours down the road right now, but there is beauty in the midst. And I'm so glad to get to know Noé, Hispanic for Noah. And Jill met over in Coos Bay. They are determined to get married. Let me play on that word again. They've been planning it, and plans had to, you know, go out the window and change it. Finally, last Sunday, they said, we're going to do it. And then all of this happens, gets worse. We're going to do it. They want to be married. So that's a great thing. So pray for Jill and Noé as they start their life together before the Lord, before their family, right here later on. For those they're participating in that wedding anyway. I think it's a great time to respond in song.